Good morning. Today is Thursday, January the 13th. Joining us this morning from the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office. Offices? Office.
Office.
There's only one. You guys don't have off-site locations throughout the county like every other department seems to?
We are just Humboldt County.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Small and intimate.
Kyla Baxley and Stacey Eads. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Has anybody indicated we've got a new book now? Yeah, oh, good. You're both staring like deers in the headlight. Good. Wait, there is no deers. Deer in the headlight.
Deer.
Okay. Why do we say bitter end? Any idea? No is acceptable. Silence is not.
No.
Kyla, you got a shot at it?
I'll give it a shot. So why do we say bitter end? I think that we say that due in part that sometimes we don't want a particular circumstance to end. So there's some bitterness surrounding that. That's what I've got.
Don't pursue it. It's a.
Dang it. All right.
All right. Many early English ships were equipped with a bit, or heavy log mounted on an axle. With one end of a cable attached to the bit, the other was tied to an anchor. Should anything happen to the bit, a ship was in trouble, for there was no way to drop anchor in order to resist the winds and the tides. In some waters, even a very long cable was not adequate. Played out until no more was wrapped around the bit, it still didn't permit the anchor to touch bottom. Such a situation was always alarming and often dangerous. You're sensing now where it's coming from. As a result, any unpleasant final result came to be called a bitter end. Now often regarded as meaning an unpleasant taste in the mouth. Nautical.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Both of you are so impressed.
I was going from the proverbial sense
yeah,
of the
yeah.
saying.
So how, with some of the law changes that are going on, at the state level, how difficult is it for the team to stay abreast of some of the new, not nuances, I guess, systemic or seismic changes, and then the fine-tuning part?
Well, I think it is a bit difficult. I mean, there have been a number of changes and just trying to ensure that we're updated, and I think that's a challenge for everyone within the justice system. All of our justice partners. So luckily we do have a number of resources that can help us keep up to date. And there's clearly a trend of reform and minimizing incarceration options. So
we see that as micromanaging. You two don't have to respond. I'll just make my comment and continue. The nuances, I would think, are going to be the more challenging. Case study, okay, boom, here comes the white paper, and everybody kind of knows what's going on, and you're off to the race. But those subtle changes that happen slowly can, I would think, have a potential of knocking you off balance. Is that true, or are they not that much of a factor?
I think it's absolutely a factor, and what I really have enjoyed in terms of my career in the law is that it's always changing. So there's always some nuance to learn about, and every case presents its own individual issues and challenges, and the people involved, and the outcome, and the impact of, obviously with, crime. So we're never bored. There's always something to learn.
Yeah, I've never heard bored coming out of the DA's office. Maybe wanting to use a board and smack somebody, I can understand. But,
but sure, it's a challenge. It's a challenge, but that shouldn't stop us. We have to take it on, so it is what it is.
Kyla, when there's a new barrister, does it change your approach?
I think it's an ever-changing landscape that we have to navigate through. I think that's part of the reason most of us get into law enforcement, is that because it's a challenge. so yes, my long answer to your question is yes. I think that you have to be aware of the changes and what's coming at you, and be prepared to adjust to those changes.
I think most of us, our only experience, quote unquote, has been through Hollywood. You know, the stuff behind the scenes, how you prepare, how you present, all that sort of thing. Does it matter who's on the other side of the courtroom? Who the attorney is that you're going against? How you prepare, how you present? You know, if you have somebody who's very overt and boisterous, does that factor in your presentation style? Or are you you and you just kind of plow through, and if it's meek, it doesn't matter. If it's really out loud, it doesn't matter. You do what you do.
Well, for myself, I definitely just try to stick with my style and be who I am. That's what I believe has been most effective for me. So I put together my case, I present it, and obviously the experience will be different depending upon who's on the other side. And but I think that that's just the most effective, efficient, fair manner to proceed.
Kyla?
And I think for law enforcement, oftentimes we are witnesses in the case, and so we are going to present typically as consistently as we do normally, depending, or not depending on who's going to be the defense or prosecution, is that we have a truth to tell the court, and that's what we do.
Okay, let's call it Mr. Putz. Somebody who tends to stretch things, takes things a little bit out of context. Maybe he has a journalist background. Would you approach things differently? Because, you know, this is somebody who might play the game a little bit instead of, you know, relying on somebody just to be a regular person.
I think it's always a challenge. I mean, whether it's in this scenario or another, things being taken out of context, despite what your efforts are to maintain that truth. But so I think sometimes, I think we're all very careful, especially this day and age, on the way we are presenting. I think particularly in the courtroom, it's the truth, and that's what, from law enforcement, that's what we're going to continue to maintain.
I thought you were going to say the truth, but nothing but the truth. KINS News and Information Time.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. Oh, I forgot to tell you guys, we've upgraded our Nerf ball. It's now our Nerf duck. We're back talking shop this morning with Stacey Eads and Kyla Baxley from the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office. How has the job changed in the last 5 years, other than normal progression within the department? Have things changed significantly in the last little bit?
In terms of changes, I think we're always having to adapt and evolve and change and be creative in terms of how we address changes in the law, changes on the bench, changes in the courtroom, changes within the community. So there's just constant adaptation. You know, of course, the first thing that came to mind when you asked about that is COVID and how has that impacted, you know, the running of the office and changes. But I'm proud to say on behalf of our office that we've managed to march forward. We've had many cases go to trial despite COVID and shutdowns. You know, it's currently a tremendous challenge in light of the increased numbers and hospitalizations and positives and sadly deaths here locally as a result of COVID. So I think that we just continue to adapt and march forward. So
plugging along, huh?
Right.
How about for you, Stacy, with your, have you seen any significant, sorry, Carla.
No problem.
I don't have a lasting impact on
No.
I've only been here for five
It was
minutes.
A stare down. It was like, check one, check two. What the, oh, okay. from your end, are you able to do the job the same way that you were before?
Sure, I think it's always had some consistency, but I think particularly the last 5 years, law enforcement has had some significant impacts to the way they operate. Some good, some bad, some challenging. So yes, there has been some changes for law enforcement, definitely.
Expectations from the community? I would think that there have been some of the goofy actions mm-hmm. that have been taken and some of those determinations, and then just cultural norm, whatever that is anymore, has changed also. Is that working its way into the courtroom also, either with the types of information that's available or the types of cases that you're even looking at? Either of you.
Okay, I'll go for it. So when you ask that question.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi. I'm here. What really comes to mind for me is I feel like our community and many other communities have been greatly impacted by, and as a whole, people that are facing mental health challenges. So I think that that's one of the big issues that we all need to face head on, and putting people, incarcerating people based upon their conduct that stems from underlying mental health issues isn't the solution. So, and I think that the changes in the law and the...
But letting them continue to wander out in the community isn't a viable option either.
Exactly. And so where I was trying to go is that, just taking away one tool but replacing it with nothing isn't a solution. And so I think that there really is a call for a creative approach with, multiple agencies, community members to sort of get together and address how... this problem that we have for the benefit of all so that we can all feel, safe walking out on the streets. It's I think twice every night when I walk from the office, out to my car about whether that's a wise choice, And
but we don't have a parking problem in Eureka, do we?
Well, but I don't know if it's just, experience over the years and being exposed to more tragedy that it makes me second guess whether it's a wise choice to walk to my car or not, or if it's just the reality of what we're all seeing on the streets today. So it's a real issue. And, the tools that we're being given, are changing. And so I think we really do need to get together, collaborate, and come up with some creative solutions to address the public safety issue that is, directly associated with a lot of the mental health issues that members of our community face.
Carla, what about the frustration from law enforcement? They bring a bad guy in and they get kicked through the uprights and found guilty, and then they're spun back out on the street. Dealing with frustration has got to be something that's a new player into the equation. Are there ways that are recommended on how to handle that, and knowing that it may not turn out the way that you want, even though the determination is correct, but the result isn't necessarily what everybody wants? How do you process through that one?
Right, and that's frustrating for, I think, all of us in the justice system, that you have your own perception of how you think it should end, and then it doesn't end like that, due in part to some legislative changes or some rulings that maybe you don't necessarily agree with. But long of it short, that guy that you spent some time working a case up on is now released despite your efforts. It's frustrating for everybody. But knowing, and again, I think that people get into law enforcement due in part to the challenges, is that you're there to, in the now, to make people safe, is that you are doing the best you can with what you've got and the resources you have available to take care of that problem, hoping that the next person will be able to kind of carry on your efforts. I think that one of the challenges for law enforcement is not losing that drive, knowing that the impact they're making is doing something for our community.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Kyla Baxley and Stacey Eads from the DA's office. What do you two see coming down the road as far as the types of cases? I know fentanyl, we heard something, I guess yesterday, there was somebody who dropped because of it. It's a changing landscape. And I think for a lot of us, it would be nice just to kind of have some stability. 2 years. That's enough. How do you project out 5 years? Where's law enforcement going to be? Where are you two going to be, and how you approach the job in 5 years?
I think for law enforcement, it's attracting a different group of people. I think, and maybe it's just due in part to just the political changes. But I teach out at the academy, and one of the questions I ask right out the gate is, "Tell me why you want to be in law enforcement." And it's been interesting to see the change that, you know, initially it was like, oh, man, I want to drive fast and carry a gun. And, you know, they're really like
the Wild West.
Wild West. And then now I'm seeing a lot of, well, I want to get into law enforcement because I want to make a difference. And I think that's really,
oh, really?
Empowering for me.
Oh, that's
because
cool.
I like, that's part of the reason you had asked the question kind of on the break, is that if I knew how things would be today, would I have still gotten into law enforcement? And without a doubt, my answer would be yes, is that there's a lot of days of frustration and hardships and trying to figure out, is it still worth maintaining? But then you kind of go back to those days of where you have had that impact on people, a positive impact. And it's, I believe that law enforcement has the ability to empower people, is that make that exponential change, right? Is that they empower one person and now, you know, they're a better parent for their kids. And so it becomes this kind of the cyclical benefit for people. And being in law enforcement and the front lines, I think that we have that opportunity. And I think that's where I think law enforcement's going, especially with the new generation of people getting into law enforcement, kind of try to find that balance between that command presence and wanting to have that social connection to the community as well.
How about for you, Stacey?
Yeah, so I think that exactly what it looks like, you know, that's up for grabs. I don't know. But what I do think is that there's a strong call for, you know, stepping back and looking at how we approach problems. But our mission, you know, with the district attorney's office is to ensure public safety. So that's number one, public safety. That's at the top of the list. And in serving our community.
Now, is that defined as the same way today or as it will be down the road?
Well, I think that, you know, in part, public safety also has a, you know, a psychological component, you know, just to feel that we're safe. And I think that we all should be afforded that right, and we should feel safe. And here we are in Humboldt County. It's rural, it's beautiful, and, you know, it's a place that we're here because of our environment in large part and the opportunities to be outdoors. And that should be done in a safe way, in a way that we feel comfortable doing that, you know. So, but what that looks like exactly, you know, can
it's interesting, you know, talking with various folks, they say 5 years, and it says, well, yeah, depending on bing, 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 here.
Yeah.
Rather than some of these large, I mean, how do you define safety?
Right.
People feeling safe. Bad guys not wandering on the street? Yeah, that's probably in there somewhere. The visible signs. and who knows how that's going to change. If each of you had a list that had one on it that you could, we'll take care of blank, what would that one thing be that would make the job that much easier or more successful or more efficient or more effective?
The one thing that will that will solve
what's
it all.
What's number one on the what's number one on the list?
Number one on
if
the
you,
list.
If you knock that out, or it could disappear.
Well, I think that the number one thing that we really do need to do is to, at this point, is educate.
Okay. How about for you, Carla?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You may have to come back to me for that because my list, I have more than one on my list, so I have to choose the most appropriate one considering this is the radio station. But I'll echo off of Stacy as far as just the awareness and education is that there's a lot of legislative changes happening that I think the general public is unaware of. And oftentimes we even on the front lines of these changes don't know until the last minute. So how are these laws getting passed? How come we aren't aware of the changes prior to them becoming enacted? Some of those things. And so I do feel that awareness for the public, you know, we go into court and fight the good fight. We solidify a sentence. Yet once that defendant goes off to CDCR, that sentence changes tremendously. And so how come that happens? And so I think there's a lot of questions that are asked of us, that are even asked by our law enforcement partners is how is this happening? So I do feel that awareness and education coming from, you know, that state level down to the local level would be hugely helpful and help people make smart choices when they go and vote as well.
It's funny, I would have thought you guys would have said either mental health related or drugs. That would have been if you'd take that off the list. Just
I think I was thinking realistic.
Oh, well.
Okay.
No. I could have said magic pixie dust.
Well, and you know, how does mental health and drugs, how do those not fall under the umbrella of education? So what are the impacts?
Retention would be part of that factor also. Oh, it's interesting. With the COVID and the state rules and recommendations and you know whatever the county determines it's going to do also, when this thing gets normalized, to whatever extent it does, how much more effective does the office become?
What gets normalized?
I heard something last night, and I believe it to be accurate. Is it the influenza that we deal with? Are the mutations off of the 1918 event? So this thing's not going away.
Okay.
And it may be redefined. It may be unemotionalized, if that's a phrase. Things settle in, whatever you want to frame of reference you want. How much more efficient does the office become? So obviously you're going to be able to have more cases processed. More people in the jails. Does it make it easier to do the job?
I guess my initial response is I feel that we are operating on a pretty efficient level as it is. And sure, the impacts of the release from custody, sometimes that's COVID related or, you know, other times it's not. It's the legislative changes that are releasing people. I think some of the efficiency would maybe come from the courts being able to progress at a reasonable rate because we're getting, you know, trials set out, you know, months and months due in part to the delay from COVID. But I've been super impressed with the way the office has handled and continues to maintain. And I think some of us are operating on the ideas, is this the new norm and how are we going to make this this work?
Work the best with the
we
new
can.
Parameters.
And is this going to be replaced with something else? Is that so? Just expecting this being the new norm.
Undoubtedly, it's going to be replaced by
so
something.
So that
else.
Seems to be historically what's happened over the last couple years. But
Stacy's thinking a little too hard on this one.
Well, it's interesting because with, you know, the COVID experience, nothing has been normal. So I guess that's the new norm, is not knowing what to expect. So it's, you know, I mean, just, you know, the reality of it is we might go down to appear on a case. We're ready to proceed. Let's go. Oh, they can't bring the defendant out of the jail because of COVID exposure. So, okay, now we're postponed and we have statutory time limits. Are we going to be able to achieve those? And, you know, we're potentially being faced with perhaps the court's going to dismiss our case because a defendant can't be brought down for his or her hearing. And, wow, what do we do about that? So completely out of our control. But all we can do is prepare and march on and put up the fight.
It's like Plan D, right?
Right.
I think we're beyond that.
Okay. Down to the M's and the N's. Yes. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:45.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with four airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right. You can fly on AHA, American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Reno, and Las Vegas. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:50. We're back talking shop. Final couple minutes with Stacey Eads and Kyla Baxley. So are you going to say anything, or are you just going to kind of be quiet there?
Well, I can tell you're looking at me.
Yeah, I am. And I even know who I'm looking at. Oh, the political process certainly is something. I'm sure you guys have been getting a ton of questions, you know, since Maggie made her or shared her decision. Is it changing the day-to-day in the office, or is it just kind of, yeah, okay, yep, and, you know, it's kind of like what you have for lunch yesterday, and then you keep moving on?
No, I think it was big news when she made the announcement, and she was able to tell the office staff personally before making, obviously, the announcement to the public, but, and so I think she has made a huge positive impact on that office, and certainly the staff there has a lot of respect for her. So it certainly, I think it was somewhat shocking to folks, but it didn't mess any of the waves of us continuing on with what we need to do. So, but it certainly, it took people, I think, a bit by surprise just because of her such a big impact there at the office.
And she's still around.
And she's still around, certainly for...
Unless she's got one of the most accumulated vacation things.
No. She made the commitment to stick around for the entirety of the year. So I think that offered some comfort to folks as well.
Right. And so Maggie is absolutely still around. And I would just say that 20 years ago, when I started my career as a prosecutor here at the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office...
Are you one of Terry's?
I am one of Terry's.
Oh, okay.
One of his last. But so Terry Farmer hired me, and in December, before Paul took office, I had a DUI trial against Paul, so that's how we first got to know each other as opposing counsel. So that was an interesting time for me as a young attorney. But you know, the first attorney that really took me under their wing was Maggie Fleming. So I do have a tremendous amount of respect for her. She's mentored me over the years, and she's been very supportive. And in her decision to not run for the next election cycle, Maggie asked of me whether I would consider running for district attorney, and I've made the well-thought-out decision that yes, I will. I am very dedicated to the County of Humboldt. I'm born and raised here in Humboldt, and I am proud and humbled and honored to be considered by Maggie, and very much looking forward to asking for the opportunity to serve as district attorney.
Yeah, big deep breath. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, lots of luck. Thanks for coming by.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
We'll see what February brings, huh? See you tomorrow.